Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Brother Ike called me last night. He said, there probably ain't going to be many at church tomorrow. Why don't you preach?
Yeah.
I said, well, that'll be all right, because even when there's a house full, there ain't many listening to me anyhow. So. Well, I'm glad you're here. Amen. God is good. I'm glad God's good in the bad times, just like He is in the good times. Amen. And so it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We think a part of a pastor's job is to encourage people and to help them in difficult times. And that's what we're going to try to do this morning. Make you aware of one fact. It could always be worse. Amen.
That's it. Yeah.
Amen. People go wherever they want to go. Amen. And I understand people not going to the house of God. They're worried about this virus. A lot of churches have canceled services, and they're having what they would call a streaming service. I can't just preach to a microphone. Never been able to do that. I have to have eyeballs. I can't see them eyeballs way back here, but I see there is some back there, so maybe that'll help me get through here this morning. I have to have people, so it's hard for me to just sit down. I used to hear old preachers say when God called them to preach, they'd go out and preach to a tree stump. I said, man, I just can't never do that. I just couldn't never fire me up. But that's me, and that's all right, I guess. We're all different. But I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Chapter number 16, Revelation chapter number 16. The title of the message this morning is The Pattern and the Purpose of the Plague. The Pattern and the Purpose of the Plague. Now, when we use the word plague, I'm using it in the biblical sense. The way that a plague is used in the Bible would be equivalent to what we might call a pandemic. Now, there are two types of serious situations that we face. One's called an epidemic. That's where in a certain area you have more cases of a certain disease or sickness than that which is normal, and so that is called an epidemic. A pandemic is a crisis that is global in its nature, having to do with sickness or disease. The word pan meaning across or broad. What a pandemic does is that it crosses lines. Now, I kind of think that's kind of humorous, because we live in a time when not all, but certain politicians and political movements are crying for what are called open borders. One reason that the United Kingdom wanted out of the EU was because there are no borders in the European community, the European Union. As a result of that, there have been many migrants and everyone who just freely could walk in. One of those is Italy. And they're suffering a great consequence because of it today.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, you'll be labeled all kind of names if you speak the truth. But I want to tell you something. Borders are established by God.
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe that, just go later to the book of Acts chapter 17 and read it. You'll find that God not only designated how far the water He would come, but He designated where all the people would live and what their borders were going to be. Now, why would God do such a thing? You say, well, that sounds racist. That sounds about exactly like what the world would say about it. God, ever since the flood, has kept man divided, because when man gets united in a global system, they always rebel against God.
Yes, sir.
So a pandemic is a crisis that crosses borders and is spread out and becomes a global issue or a crisis. Now, that's what we're in the midst of right now, that which is called a pandemic. Now, I'm 71 years old. I've been through about 13 hurricanes. You go through a hurricane, you may be without power, and there may not be anywhere locally you can buy groceries and stuff, but you can always drive a little ways, find somewhere you can get something. But that's not true today. Amen. The grocery stores in other places are empty as the ones that we have is. Amen. So we're in a different, unique situation in that it is affecting everybody.
Yep.
Amen. Well, I want us to read, and I'll get on with the message. Beginning in verse 1 of the Revelation chapter 16. Now, understand this. The book of Revelation is about one thing. It is about the victorious person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's going to be on top, irregardless of what man does, what man says, what he votes for. God's always going to come out on top. Now there are situations and times where it may not look like that to God's people. There came a time when Elijah said, God, you may as well go ahead and kill me. I'm the last one. And he said, I got news for you, buddy. I got 7,000 in the cave. They ain't never bowed their knee to Baal.
Amen.
You just because you think you're alone don't mean you're alone. Amen. God's always comes out on top. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came. He left his throne of glory, laid aside his robes of royalty, and condescended to be born in a stable, laid in a manger, and lived 33 and a half years as a human being to know what it is to be a human being, to know what it is to be a man, so that he could be a perfect judge and also a perfect priest. He consummated his ministry by dying on a cruel, rugged cross. In order that he may pay the price, the penalty for every sin of every man, woman, boy, and girl that would trust in him for salvation. Amen. Then he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God after his resurrection, and there he sits to intercede for his people.
Amen.
Amen. But the book of Revelation teaches that there's going to come a time when there will be a global system, when man reunites as a global empire, and at that time he will do what he always does, he rebels against God. And at that point in time, God is going to send plagues. Now that's a historical thing, it has happened in the past, amen.
Yeah.
And so I want us to read here because we're going to see something. The book of Revelation, the bad part, let's say, concerns 21 different things. First of all, there are seven seals that are taken off of a scroll. A seal is something that hides something which is within. And so a seal represents a revelation. And each time one of those seals are opened, something else is learned about what's going to happen. After that, we hear seven trumpets blowing. Now, what's the purpose of a trumpet? Get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
Trumpet we're talking about is not a musical trumpet. It's one that sounds a blast, amen. It called the people of the Old Testament to worship. It called them to battle, to war, and it called them to assembly, amen. But then the final seven we find are what is called seven bowls. In the King James Version, the word vial is used of God's wrath that is poured out upon man. Now the message here is simply this. If you reject God's grace, if you reject God's offer of salvation so long, there will be a time that there's nothing left for you except exposure to the wrath of God.
That's it. Amen. Exactly.
Now I want to tell you, that's the day in which we're living right now.
Yes, sir.
It is.
Yeah.
But look here. I'm glad I'm not going to be here during what's about to happen. So What we're fixing to read to you is what's fixing to happen in the future here, before I believe very long. Verse number 1 says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which had worshipped his image." Now when you see that, just consider a global political system and a global religious system. That's what he's talking about. Verse 3 says, "And the second angel poured out his vial or bowl upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood." Well, I remember when they first started selling bottled water. I said, what kind of dummy to buy bottled water? All you got to do is turn on the faucet and get you a glass of it. It just don't make sense to me. But it makes a whole lot more sense in a whole lot of places, doesn't it? But that's what he said. Even the fresh water, first the salt water, the seas, then the fresh water becoming blood. "And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus." What he's saying is, God, you never do the wrong thing. You saved everybody you could save, and the time of your judgment has come, and you are still righteous. Verse 6, right. "For they," the ones who are now undergoing the wrath and judgment of God, "they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." He just said amen to the other one. Amen. Verse 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat." And, now, we've been looking at the heavenly side, the divine side. Now let's look at the human side as a result of this. "And they blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues." Now it gets worse. "And they repented not to give him the glory." Now what does that tell you? That tells you they know the source of these plagues. They know where they're coming from. They're coming from God Himself.
Yeah.
And rather than realizing, friend, that they are now a subject and object of the wrath of God, rather than crying out to God for mercy, repenting, instead they choose to blaspheme the name of God.
Yeah. My goodness.
They choose to cuss God. I don't know how many of you remember an old Bible by John Huston, an old movie by John Huston. The name of it was The Bible. And it charted early history from Adam through Abraham. I don't know how many of you remember that. You probably have to be old like me to remember it. But I'll never forget when Nimrod shows up on the scene. See, Nimrod was the man who was at the head of the first global empire. And you know what Nimrod did? This was in the movie now, and I can see him doing it because of what the Bible says about Nimrod. He raised his fist toward heaven and he blasphemed God. You know what he did next? He took a bow and an arrow, because he was a great hunter before the Lord, and he fired that arrow into heaven toward God. Now you see, that's just a movie, I know that, but doesn't that exactly demonstrate the attitude of a lost and reprobate world, that rather than understanding that the judgment of God is coming, they'll repent and cry out to God for mercy? After all, the Bible says His mercy endures forever. Amen. Alright, let's finish reading here. Verse 10, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast," that's the world ruler, "and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain." What was the result of that? "And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You see the pattern. For the sake of time, let's go to the last verse, verse 21. It says, "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent." That's a 100-pound hailstone. That'll tear your carport down. That'll come through your roof and hit you in the recliner, won't it? "And men blasphemed God because of the hail." The purpose and the pattern of the plague are the pandemic. I want to talk first of all about what I call the origin of a plague. The origin of a plague. Now there are two sources from which a plague comes. One source comes from human activity. The next source comes from heavenly activity. Matter of fact, I'm going to let you in on a little secret about the Bible. Every plague in the Bible is due to heavenly divine activity and not human activity. With the exception of one, the plague of leprosy. Why is that? The plague of leprosy is a picture of man's sin. And God's not the author of man's sin. God's not the cause of man's sin. He is. And so God didn't cause that. Amen. It's a picture of your and I sin. So God didn't author that. First time you read about a plague in the Bible, it's in the book of Genesis, about old Abraham, 14 I believe it is. He just come into the land of Canaan, and weren't long a famine came. And so he decided to run down to Pharaoh's house. Great-grandson Jacob, you know, would find later on he'd do that. But he ran down there and he got to looking at Sarah and he said, "You know, that's a pretty good-looking woman. I don't want them to kill me to get her." So he told Pharaoh that she was his sister. Now that was a half-truth because she was his half-sister, amen. You see, some people think it's all right to tell a little lie, but it's not a big lie. Well, anyway, that's what he sought to do. Now, As a result of that, Pharaoh's people, his men, brought her to Pharaoh's house. There he was with Sarah, Abraham's wife. Here's what the Bible says. "And God sent plagues upon the house of Pharaoh because he took Sarah." See, that might have been all right with Abraham, but it weren't all right with God. Amen. And at least old Pharaoh had a little bit of sense, and he called Abraham and said, "Hey, what have you done? Why didn't you tell me that that was your wife?" Now, Abraham didn't, so who told him Sarah was his wife? Only one could have, and that was God himself. "Why didn't you tell me that was your wife? You brought the wrath of God Almighty on my house." He said, "Get her, and y'all get out of here. And I'm going to pack you a big bag when you leave so that you won't have to be coming back anytime soon to get any victuals." You see, that kind of plague, a biblical plague, is not of human origin. It is of a heavenly origin. So there's your two sources, human and heavenly. Now, there is a combination of those. God can take something which is of human origin and use it to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. We can pretty much find that in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28 where it says, "All things work together for good to those that love God." Good things, bad things, amen. And so you need to understand that there is a divine origin in plagues that occur often in this world. Now we're so concerned about what's going on. Many are not here this morning because they are concerned about contracting that virus. A lot of us are old. I'm sure it would kill me if I got it. And I don't blame them. I perfectly understand it. And the government may tell us we don't need to meet next week. I don't know about all that. All I know is we're here today and I'm trying to help you understand what's going on. Now, I'm 71 years old. I've never seen anything like this. I've been through a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything like this. This is unique. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion. You don't have to pay no attention to my opinion. Very few people do. But my opinion is this, that this pandemic, this plague, is indeed of divine origin. We'll get to that in just a minute, amen. Now, what you need to understand is that This is not something that has not happened before. There are many, many other plagues and pandemics that we've had. I'm just going to mention a few here. The 1300s, we had what was known as the Black Plague, or the Black Death. It was caused by infected fleas on rodents, rats. I'm surprised New York City didn't get this a long time ago. The Black Plague killed 50 million people. It killed 60% of the population of Europe. You see, that's what we're focusing on today. Every time you turn on the news, as Brother Ricky said, we're focusing on the numbers. How many have died? 1890, we had a flu pandemic. They haven't given it a name. But in that flu pandemic, 1 million people died in 5 weeks. 1 million people. Its origin? St. Petersburg, Russia. You see, that their origin may be a long way off, but a pandemic, my friend, brings it to your front doorstep and to my front doorstep, does it not? Amen? So there was a great flu pandemic. Then in 1920, there was what was known as the Spanish flu pandemic. It occurred during World War II in 1920. 100 million people died of the Spanish flu. I'm just trying to put things in perspective. 1957-58, we had in America what was known as the Asian flu. If you'll ask my wife, she'll tell you that when she was a young girl, she had Hong Kong flu. That's the Asian flu. It was the Asian flu. It was the flu that my granddaddy contracted, my mama's daddy, that killed him. He died of the Asian flu. It originated, thus the name, in China. In China. It killed over 1.1 million people, 116,000 of those people in the U.S. It originated in chickens, the avian flu. 1981 until today, we have been under what has been known as the AIDS pandemic. The AIDS pandemic. As of today, there have been 35 million deaths due to the pandemic of AIDS, and 60 million today are infected with the virus. Now, where did AIDS originate? You remember, we're talking about divine origin and human origin. The Asian flu originated from eating monkey meat. I'm sorry, chickens. But AIDS originated from chimpanzees. You see, before there was ever an HIV, there was a SIV. It was called the simian immunovirus deficiency, immunodeficiency virus. AIDS is simply the human element. And it was something known only to monkeys, but somebody did something with the monkey, made a roast or a T-bone, I don't know. But anyway, it passed from the animal into the human being. As a result of the sexual behavior and the drug behavior of millions around the world, it became a global pandemic and has taken many, many lives. 35 million to this day. 2009, from Mexico came the swine flu. Now, the swine flu would lead you to believe that its origin happened in what? Pigs. Hogs. The swine flu infected 1.4 billion people and killed over 575,000. There were two other minor ones between 2009 and today, but we're just going to jump on ahead to what is known as the coronavirus. I looked it up this morning. It started the latter part of last year. And as of this date, there are 307,000 infections. 26,102 of those infections are located in the United States, and there have been 13,032 deaths. The origin of the coronavirus is suspect simply because of where it originated. It originated in China, a little area called Wuhan. Sounds small, but it's actually about 5 million populated in that area. First thing they came out was that it was contracted from bats, from eating bats. What a delicacy. Then the next thing I heard, that it was contacted by eating skunk. I ain't never been that hungry to try to tackle a skunk, amen, to eat that skunk. But that's what the tale was. Now, it's going around that it escaped out of some laboratory over there. So I don't know. The reason for that is simply because of the secretive nature of the Chinese government, amen. But, to put it into perspective, every year we have what we call the flu. As of this point in 2020, there are 36 million flu cases. Contrast with that with 307,000 infections of the coronavirus. There have been 370,000 hospitalizations due to the coronavirus. There have been 22 deaths as a result of the coronavirus. Now, I don't want to minimize the seriousness of the coronavirus and the flu. Coronavirus has produced 13,000 deaths, whereas the flu has resulted in 22,000 deaths. So we don't normally panic over the flu, do we? Why are we panicking? And that's the key word today. It is panic. Why are we panicking over the coronavirus? Because of the unknown.
Yep.
You see, we've got treatments and medicines to treat the symptoms of flu. We've got vaccines that we can take, may work, may not work for the flu, but for the coronavirus, don't nobody know nothing to do about it. If you turn on the TV, as Brother Ricky said, that's all you see.
Yeah.
I don't know what else has happened in the world of the United States because they don't talk about it. All they focus on is the coronavirus. And I can understand a lot of that. But it's put us in a panic, and the reason is because of the unknown. And why? We have assimilated into a nation that trusts the government to solve all of our problems. And when the government doesn't have a solution for our problems, we panic.
Yep. That's it.
If you're going to find a roll of toilet paper, it better be in your closet because there ain't many out there. Never thought I'd see the time. And I saw it on the television, on the news. They opened the doors of that store and there's one of those security cameras on the toilet paper aisle and paper towel aisle. And just a wave of people came in, pushing and shoving, looked like water coming there, grabbing toilet paper off of those shelves. Well, you know that, don't you, if you've been to a store. What is the result here? It is panic.
Yep.
Because of the unknown. You know, many people have drowned who know how to swim because they got in a position where they panicked. And a panicking man will do nothing but beat the water until he drowns. Amen. So the real panic, the real problem and seriousness of this pandemic is the fact that it's causing people to panic.
Yep.
If everybody would not panic and just continued on in a normal way, a halfway normal way, there wouldn't be a shortage of toilet paper. There wouldn't be a shortage of bread. There wouldn't be a shortage of milk and all of these things. It's the panic that we are thrown in. That causes the problem. But it might also cause us to look in the right direction. So we see the origin of the plague or pandemic. Now I want to talk about the objective of a plague or pandemic. Let's say my opinion is right and that God is behind this pandemic. What's he trying to do? What is his objective? Now, can I say one thing? You would think that he'd try to get people to repent.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. Did it work here in the scripture we just read? Plagues do not cause people to repent toward God. Book of Exodus chapter 11. God told Moses, he said, I'm going to send one more plague on Pharaoh. I'm going to send one more plague on Pharaoh. And here's what he said. He said, then he will let my people go. What was the objective of God? Get the people out of Israel in the midst of demonstrating his mighty power so that they would believe him beyond any shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
His objective was to free his people. Now I want to ask you, did Pharaoh repent? Only in the sense that he changed his mind and let them go, but he repented again. What did he do? When they got out there to the Red Sea, amen, he went out there after them to destroy every one of them. Huh? He's exactly the kind of person here. So you would think God would send these things, or in the midst of these awful things that would happen, man would look toward God and he would repent and say, God help us, we can't control this thing. This is out of our hands. God, we need your help. But because of our world in which we live today, man looks to the government.
Yeah, I see it. Yes, sir.
Over in Italy, did you know, 24 hours the coronavirus killed 700 people in 24 hours. Italy ain't a real big place. I asked my wife yesterday, I said, where's the Pope at? He must be way down the bottom of the Vatican somewhere hiding so he don't get it. I don't know. But you'd have thought he'd come out and curse that virus or said, I'm going to sprinkle some holy water on you and help you out. Do something. I ain't seen him. I don't. Maybe he has. I just hadn't seen him. I don't know. Amen?
Right.
What is God's objective? Because it does not make man repent. First objective. Are you ready? It's what I call the dominion objective. God sends a plague, a pandemic, number one, to show who is in control.
Yes, amen. Yep.
Now there you have it. I'm telling you, for the last 10 years I've got so tired of hearing about global warming. That didn't work out, so they changed it to climate change because it wasn't getting warmer. It was getting colder. Al Gore wrote his book, total flop. None of what he said would happen by this day has ever happened. I got so tired of hearing about it. I don't hear about that no more. I told the Breeders one night, I said, I'm going to tell you men something. When the bottom falls out of this wagon, son, you're not going to see people running out in the street and saying, oh, my soul, global warming, killing us. No, you're not going to hear that. That's what's happened now. Their focus has been taken off of their little political programs and it's focused on a serious program that is affecting everybody.
Yep.
Now, I want to tell you something. Donald Trump took office. Stock market immediately, even before he took office. He'd been elected, but the stock market took off. And something's been going like a bottle rocket ever since. Up in the 29,000s, about to hit 30,000. Now, I like that. You ought to like that if you draw Social Security or retirement, because that affects all of our retirement income. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. Right formula. Producing economic growth. And whenever America prospers, the world prospers. So we see all of the world fussing over these little issues and this and that and the other. And God says, it's time for me to get your attention. You see, Democrats think they have all of the answers. Republicans think they have all of the answers. And everybody that is in between thinks that they have all of the answers. And that there's nothing that can happen that we can't deal with. God says, let's put that to the test. You see, our politicians have betrayed us to such a degree that the majority of our medicine comes from the same place the virus originated.
That's right. Yeah.
And thank God that has been exposed.
Yes.
The objective of God during the pandemic is to make people realize happen. Man is not in control. God as always is in control of everything. And you go ahead with your stock market. Y'all go ahead and hit the streets and the freeways and all the subways and all of these things. I can shut you down overnight. And Sonny did it. They showed the what we would call an interstate, the highways in Italy on TV. Not one vehicle. Not one vehicle. I said, boy, wouldn't you like to have a Corvette to get on there and just put it on the floor and see what you do? There ain't nobody there. You could just haul and go, couldn't you? Amen. Nobody. Who would have thought about that last Christmas? No, nobody would have. God says, slow down here. Put the brakes on. You're looking the wrong way.
Right.
You need to look this way.
Amen.
I am still in control.
Amen.
Now that's what sets you and me apart from the world. We know that. Amen. That's the objective of God. But not only there's the discipline objective. God uses these things to judge man for his wickedness.
Yeah, sure does.
Gerald Falwell got in trouble for saying that AIDS was the judgment of God on homosexuality. Well, we'll find out when we meet God. I know that's who it was affecting, but nevertheless, friend, God does send plagues as a result of wickedness. I could give you some examples, but let me give you this one. In the book of Numbers, 23, the people went to Moses. Moses, I'm going to tell you something, son. We are wanting some meat to eat. By the way, don't try to find no hamburger in Bonifay. It ain't there. We are wanting some meat to eat. And he said this, our soul loatheth this light bread. What was the light bread? Manna. When I was a young one, we called bread light bread. That's what we called it. He said, we're sick of this bread. Where did that bread come from? It was God. God gave it to him. It's called angel's food in the book of Psalms.
Right.
We're tired of this light bread. We want some meat to eat. God gave them meat. He gave them so much that it ran out their nostrils. But he gave them something else. He gave them a plague of serpents, and that's what it was called. Fiery serpents who came in and bit the people.
Sure
is. Understand this right now. A part of God's judgment is giving you what you want.
See it.
You want it? I'll give it to you, and I'll watch you choke to death on it. He sent in the fiery serpents. But thank God in every calamity, He has a way out. He said, Moses, you take and make a brass serpent. You hold it upon a pole. And everybody who looks at that serpent as it's lifted up, who's been bitten by a snake, will not die. Now that only required one thing. What did it require? Faith. Believing what God said.
Amen.
Friend, that is the purpose of the pandemic. To get us in a place where we will trust God and believe God. I told my best friend, Jack Taylor, he's always been a worrier. Always tight. He says something may happen. His favorite expression is, the Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I told him one time, I said, and Jack, if he listened to this sermon, I said, Jack, the problem is not God's not willing. The problem is your creek keeps rising. Well, I was talking with him on the phone not too many months ago, and I remember saying this to him. I said, Jack, the time's coming when the people who profess that they live by faith will actually have to do it. It's easy to say I'm living by faith when you've got a bank account with money in it. But friend, if you know what happened in Germany? People had money, but they had nothing to buy with that money. Does that sound familiar to you? Punishment. God sends a plague, a pandemic, to punish people who have forgotten that He's God.
Amen.
That He's on the throne. That He rules and reigns. And only in Him is salvation. Hallelujah.
That's right.
He sends a plague for destruction. Now let me ask you. If you watch the news, you're going to see focus on two things. that are basically one. But here's how they're going to focus. They're going to focus on the spread of the virus, the infections of the virus. Then they're going to focus on the economic consequences of the virus.
Yes, right.
Friend, I want to tell you something. What's happened to the stock market falling back to what it was when Donald Trump was elected? That ain't Donald Trump's fault. It's got nothing to do with his policies. Son, that's God's doing. God's jerked her back, amen.
Yes.
And you and I may not like it, but I'll tell you this. God's trying to get this people, this nation's attention. God's trying to get this world's attention. And I'm going to tell you why. God's fixing to shut this thing down.
Yes.
I said, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I believe that a vaccination for the coronavirus is going to originate in Israel. I believe their doctors are going to come up with a solution. May not happen. I don't know. But I know that God has a purpose in what is going on. And I can't figure out exactly what it is. It won't be long, we will. But I believe that God is setting up the relationship between America and the nation of Israel so that once we pass this thing, and if Donald Trump gets elected, and I know that's a big if, but it was the first time too, understand this, I believe that they will begin to build the third temple of the nation of Israel. There's only one thing preventing its building right now, and that is political. Everything's ready. The plans, the utensils, it's all there. But because of the Muslim-Israeli conflict, they won't let them do it because they're afraid that it will cause a great uprising. You know what will straighten that out? The pandemic. Why? It's everywhere. God's objective through this pandemic is to remind everybody of who's in control. Now, what's the outcome? What's the outcome of a plague? Well, as I said before, we'd like to think that it's repentance, but it's not. Because they don't repent, what do? They curse God and blaspheme Him because of what is going on. The outcome of a plague is this: God's purpose is accomplished. You remember what it says when it says, for all things work together for good to those that love God? What did it say next? To them who are called according to His purpose. Son, the end result of all this is whatever God's desiring to do and the reason He sent it is going to come to pass. Now, the world's not going to realize a lot about that, but son, you and I ought to, based upon what we know about God, amen. I'm telling you, God's going to do something. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, whether we're going to like it or not like it, but I know this, son. God's got a purpose, and whatever that purpose is, it's going to be accomplished.
Right, right, yes.
God's purpose is going to be accomplished, and God's power is going to be acknowledged.
Yes.
All these smarty pants in the climate change issue, oh, they just know everything. Really? You know how many times they've told me it was going to rain tomorrow and I ain't getting no rain? You know how many times they told me it weren't going to rain and I got rain? But yet for some reason they think I'm going to take their word when they tell me what's going to happen in 100 years.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think so.
No.
Huh? You see, my friend, God's power is going to be acknowledged.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes, that's right.
Why? Because it's going to demonstrate that when God moves, there's nothing any person can do to resist it.
That's it. Well, that's true, brother.
That's what Isaiah said to the people. Is the Lord's arm shortened that it cannot save? Is His ear dull that it cannot hear? No, there's not a problem with God, a problem with us.
That's it.
God's purpose is going to be accomplished and His power is going to be acknowledged. You see, once again, that separates you and I from the rest of the world. I look forward to finding out why God did this and what He's going to do the other side of it. Amen. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to give Him all the glory.
Yeah.
It may kill me. I don't know. I may be one of the next victims. I don't know that. I'm tired of this whole body anyway. It's not going to be a great disappointment. I'd like to know when so I can just run up all my credit cards and leave it with the Antichrist, but I don't have that privilege. God's purpose is going to be accomplished. His power is going to be acknowledged. And once again, listen now, I like this. His presence is going to be appreciated.
Amen.
Son, everywhere that you go, with the exception of the house of God in this world, they want to eliminate God. They want to get rid of God. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to see anything represents God. They just want to be done with God.
Yeah, I see it.
They don't appreciate His blessings. They perverted and twisted the history of the United States of America and our forefathers so that we've taught our children something that is absolutely not true. And therefore, they don't have an appreciation for America that you and I do.
Amen. That's right.
And the blessings and the presence of God. Understand this, dear friend. We are what we are because of the grace of Almighty God.
Yes, sir.
And His providence upon the United States of America. When all this passes, son, God's people are going to be glad He's on our side.
Yeah.
Amen. His presence is going to be appreciated. Now, I want to ask you something. I've got to shut up. What has been the result of us eliminating God's presence in society? Wickedness and anarchy. When I was in high school, the worst thing that you could get caught doing was smoking in the bathroom. Boy, you get suspended for 3 days. Terrible thing. Now, son, you're afraid to go to the bathroom because somebody might have a gun or a knife. Oh, they got metal detectors. Well, that stopped it, hadn't it? Ain't it something how we tell people, we put signs up saying, ain't nobody in here got a gun. That's going to stop them, ain't it? That locked door, that sign. No, you know that. Us eliminating God from the school system has destroyed the school system. Us eliminating God from the central place in our government that He deserves has destroyed the functionality of our government.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
I believe it's time America comes back and appreciates God's presence once more.
Yes, amen, brother.
Son, I tell you what, you lay on your back a few weeks in the hospital trying to draw a breath, and each one you think it's your last breath. Son, when you come out of it, you'll appreciate God.
Amen.
Now, I know that because I caught the flu. Had it several times, but the last time I got it in Mississippi, I was still working, still preaching. And I was convinced I was going to die. That's how bad I felt. I may be a ninny. I thought I was a man, but I've been proven wrong now. I actually thought I was going to die. And in that condition, I came up with a message. God gave it to me, I guess. I don't know. It came into my old fungus brain. Living on death row. I felt like I was on death row, and just a matter of time, son, before I was gone. Lo and behold, God brought me out of that, because you do know I've had a lung problem since I was born in this world. Son, I appreciated God's presence.
Amen.
I appreciated God's grace. I appreciated God's goodness.
Amen.
And I preached that message right after that. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a time, God's people, because it's us.
Yeah.
I understand people not being here today because of the virus and the pandemic that's going around. I understand that fear. But friend, when everything's going good and you got a pocket full of money and you got a sandwich on the table and gas in your car and you're feeling good, tell me then why you can't be in the house of God.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Right.
God says, you don't want to go to the house of God, I'll give you a reason not to go to the house of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, I got to go. The opportunity of a plague. An opportunity. You see all kind of interesting stories on the news. There's a certain distillery that now is going to make bacterial hand wash. I hope it does so good they don't have to go back making whiskey. I was in the Walmart the other day and they had some toilet paper, but you could only buy one. Man in front of me had two packs of toilet paper. And 6 cases of beer. And he was griping and raising Cain about the fact that he could not buy 2 packs of toilet paper. And me being the Murphy that I am, it was so close, I'm glad I didn't do it. But I wanted to just say, "Mister, let me ask you something. What makes you so special that you're different than all these other little ladies in here who'd like to get their hands on some toilet paper? Number two, if you get to stinking too bad, just take some of that beer you bought and wash your behind." Now, I didn't say it because one of us would have had to knock the other one out. So I didn't say it, but that was what went through my mind. That's what it does to people. And you know what that is? It tells you who appreciates and who don't appreciate. You know why I'm not going there and buying 18 packs of toilet paper? If you could now, you can't now. Because there's somebody else that needs some of it. I'll take one. Let somebody else have one. If I'm not mistaken, ain't that a part of the golden rule? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I saw on the news where men were fighting over a case of that bottle of water. One of them took a broken wine bottle and stabbed the other one. Show two ladies on the toilet paper aisle fighting over a pack of toilet paper, pulling their hair. And as entertaining as that was, it made me sick. It's pitiful. But there's opportunity during the pandemic. Here's what I look forward to. Are you ready? Restoration. I'm ready for things to get back to normal.
Yeah. Amen.
I miss going to Skins and Bubba's. The Oaks. Don't go very often, but just because I can't go, it makes it that much more I want to go. Amen. I'll be glad when things get back to normal where we're not fighting over a roll of toilet paper. Amen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, that's what God does. Opportunity in the pandemic and the plague is, look, to show the world that it is abnormal, but God's people are normal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to tell you, this ought not. My wife knows it. I used to go to Bible conferences a lot when God first saved me and called me to preach. And I went to one, and they had this snack bar thing where you could get you something to eat at lunchtime and all. And these preachers just kept running over each other to order them a hamburger and a drink. And I was so discouraged by their behavior, I said, "You know what I'm going to do?" And I told my wife this when I got back. "I'm just going to stand here. I'm right up front. I'm right here to order. I'm going to stand here and see how long it takes for somebody to ask me what I want." And I stood there with preachers hollering over my shoulder, this and that, that I want to have it, I want to do this. You know what I said? "This ain't the kind of preacher I want to be, and I ain't been back to a Bible conference since." Now that's me. You can go. I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong with that. I'm telling you that if you do go, how about acting like a normal Christian?
Yeah. Amen.
Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life. If you've never read it, you ought to get a hold of one of them and read it. Amen. Restoration. Next opportunity of the pandemic is revival.
Yes.
You see, I just don't want things to get back to normal. I want them to get back to supernormal.
Amen.
I want to see God's people concerned again. I want to see God's people present again. I want to see God's people alive again. Right. Like they serve a living God and not some statue of some God. Amen.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's revival.
Revival, yeah. See?
And you do without something long enough, son, you'll do almost anything to get it back. Boy, when them hurricanes come and you lose your power, if you could get out there and wire the thing up yourself, you'd climb that pole and risk your life just to get it plugged back in. And boy, when the light comes back on, told my wife, "I ain't griping about the light bill no more. It's very worth it." We've been in darkness, but now we've been brought back into the light.
Yes.
We've been in a pandemic. We've been in sickness and illness and darkness. But hallelujah, we've been brought back to the light.
Amen.
God's given us revival in our soul.
Please, Lord.
The end result of it will be, my friend, that the people of God on the other side, I'm talking about the real people of God, I'm not talking about church members, church folk, they'll have an appreciation for God that they never, ever had before. God bless you, preacher.